Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio, well, audio video commentary, and today is December 20th, and it is 12:28, and that is Pacific Standard Time. And today I think we should talk a little bit about the euro. It is currently trading at 103.88, so it broke down last week. It is extending its decline this week. Certainly not in the same dynamic fashion that we have seen at the really quite impressive strength of the US dollar over the last 6 weeks. But nonetheless, this is an important breakdown, and it is having a positive effect overall on the European stock market. I think most people will be looking at Italy because that is where the epicenter of risk was most recently, and we can see that in nominal terms. And I think that is perhaps the most important word overall is nominal terms. The Italian index, it has broken its medium-term downtrend. But I'm showing it on a 10-year chart because it is a medium-term downtrend, really over the last year and a half, within the context of a much larger, very lengthy base formation overall. That the lows in 2009 correspond with the lows that were posted in 2012, and the most recent low last summer wasn't really far off, and it was in the psychological resistance, or excuse me, support area of 15,000. This very long range, very volatile, is characteristic of a type 3 bottom, which we define as ranging time and size. It is certainly very long term, in that the low was in 2009, we're currently at the end of 2016. It is certainly a range, and then it is very large that you get this 15 to 25,000 amplitude in terms of the range is very, very large indeed. We won't have a real confirmation that the Italian index is back in a medium-term demand-dominated environment until it can sustain a move above 25,000. And realistically, there is a lot of trading between where we are today and even 25,000. And I suspect that having now bounced and broken that progression of lower rally highs from really the beginning of 2015, that the prospects for an additional rally higher over the next 6 months to 18 months is perhaps the most likely scenario overall, but of course it's contingent on the continued weakness of the euro, considering that this is a nominal price advance overall. And of course it isn't just that the euro is going down, it is that the dollar is really resurgent against a whole basket of currencies. It is clearly extending its advance on the dollar index, and of course that is mostly euro and yen. The yen was a little bit stronger yesterday, but it gave up most of that decline, excuse me, most of that advance in here today, and the is back trading close to 118. It has been a very consistent advance in terms of the dollar for the last 6 or 7 weeks. There is a very clear short-term progression of higher reaction lows against the yen, and until those are broken, we won't have any evidence that this period of dollar strength is over. When we look at the Asia dollar index, where the renminbi represents a much larger weighting overall, then we're presented with a very clearly defined downtrend. And I really do think you need to look really more at 20 years to give us a better idea of what is the magnitude of the decline overall. That the last time that we had a pullback of this size was actually in 1997, during the Asian financial crisis. That even the decline that we had in following the credit crisis is smaller than the decline that has occurred in Asian currencies since 2011. We can certainly rationalize part of that decline by the collapse in commodity prices that coincided with it overall. But what's happening now is rather different. It is simply because there is, when we look at debt particularly, it is a relative value consideration, and US interest rates are beginning to rise. The US 10-year bond yield has surged higher. And that isn't something that we can simply discount because we had something similar in 2013, but back in 2013, interest rates were not rising. Interest rates are rising now, and there is still obviously some debate about whether we are in fact going to see the same number of interest rate hikes in 2017 that the Fed is predicting, considering that they were predicting four at the beginning of this year and they have made one. They're now predicting two, even potentially three for next year, and certainly there will be some people betting that they will not be able to follow through on that. And of course, the extent to which that they will follow through on interest rate hikes will be contingent on just how successful the new US administration is in implementing the three primary reasons for why people have been selling bonds. And these are quite clearly that there is the potential for a fiscal stimulus, which would require greater issuance of debt. There is the potential for the corporation tax to be lowered, in which case there would have to be more debt to make up the shortfall before economic growth really starts to kick in. And the other thing, of course, that people are looking at very closely is deregulation. If we do get it, in fact, get deregulation, then that is going to be a green light for a pro-business aspect to the way that investors view the potential for the US economy. And considering that we have had 8 years of an anti-business environment overall, then I think that investors are probably chomping at the bit, so to speak, that they really do want to put their money to more useful, to I guess get a better return on their money. Putting that I was talking very recently to someone who's had a very successful career overall. He's coming to the last 5 or 6 years of his working life, he's looking at his pension and thinking, "Golly, I've been saving my entire life, and the interest rate, if I have to transfer everything that I have into bonds, it is nowhere even close to approaching the payout that is going to sustain me for the next 30 years." And it came as rather a surprise, and that is for someone who has spent most of their life working in the financial industry. If someone like that can be presented with such a surprise, just think about what it has done for everybody else. That there is not just a desire for people to invest in something that is inspiring, but there is a necessity to find something that has the potential to generate a higher income overall. And the promise of economic growth certainly holds that potential. So there is a lot of money sitting out there in bonds and sitting out there in cash, earning virtually nothing at all. And all it needs is a green light in terms of the regulatory, the policy environment to really reignite growth. And of course, if we get growth, then we're also going to get inflation, and that's why interest rates should be rising. Therefore, certainly, we can look at this yield chart and say that it is overbought in the short term, that we have had a very profound move overall in the last 7 weeks. And certainly, someone has commented that I use the word overall rather a lot. And now that I'm conscious of it, and certainly, I will be looking at how I can communicate in a more effective manner. However, when we look at this trend overall, there is a clearly defined progression of higher reaction lows, and it has been in evidence since July. It is a big move overall. We will have no evidence that the short-term move has ended until that progression has been broken. For the medium term, we would then look at the region of about 2%. That represents the declining trend line, that if you can see it very clearly, just without drawing it, that is perhaps where support might begin to come in. It's also where the region of the 200-day moving average is likely to be. And if the yield finds support in that area and then begins to rally, then we would have clear evidence that we're getting a higher reaction low overall. That support is coming in the region of the 200-day moving average. We haven't seen anything like that. since at least 2013, and even then it was only very short-lived. But if bond yields find support and hold above their trend mean, then we would have confirmation of a low, not just of short or even potentially medium-term significance, but maybe even long-term significance. And considering that this is a 35-year bull market overall, it is unlikely to end with a whimper. There is going to be a war between supply and demand. So rather than get carried away with the arguments, we just have to really monitor the price action overall. And with the relative strength of the dollar, the gold price has been coming back. And this is the seventh week on the downside. It is a rather sharp pullback overall. But what we also know for sure is that there are two big buyers of gold. One are ETFs, and one are the Chinese and Indian consumers. And I produced this chart before I started the audio, and it is the relative performance of the US dollar gold price when you redenominate it into renminbi and the price of gold domestically in China. And we can see that the cash price of gold in China generally trades at a mild premium to the futures traded gold price, or the London quoted spot price, the fixing. But right over here, we have a rather large overextension right now, that the US gold price has fallen quite a bit faster than the Chinese mainland price. Now that tells us that, one, we've had a rather panicky selling in the US, but it is also a testament to the fact that Chinese investors are buying up gold as a potential safe haven asset, not least when their renminbi is going down. So it isn't just Bitcoin that they're buying other assets as well. The other big buyer of gold are ETFs. So it is perhaps not a bad time to be looking at what ETF buyers are doing, and they are also selling. That looks almost exactly like the gold price over the last 6 weeks. All the way through until November, the ETF holdings of gold were relatively stable. The buying certainly dried up in August, but were relatively stable until the election. And Druckenmiller certainly put paid to that, and now we have continued to see liquidations out of ETF holdings. It's probably a good time to be looking at them. We're in the last 2 weeks of the year. This is one of the most overextended downtrends, and certainly short-term downtrends around right now. And it is a major asset class, so I would be looking at this quite closely for any signs that we're going to get a what I tend to think of as an interregnum trade in between Christmas and New Year. Are we going to get a move overall in the precious metal markets? And perhaps we're seeing some sign of that in the platinum price. Platinum has stopped going down, at least. It has certainly been more volatile. The most recent dynamic is upwards. It has bounced twice, and in fact three times in the last month, from the 900 area, and it is trading at an historically wide discount overall to the gold price. There is evidence, at least in the platinum price, of at least short-term support building, and we can't say that just yet about gold or indeed silver. So perhaps, and platinum so often leads, we might be getting at least some evidence that the selling pressure is getting a little bit more discerning in the precious metal markets, and that is something that is potentially bullish, but is really only a straw in the wind so far, that we really do need some evidence of someone else who shares that view to really get more bullish. I'm still holding on to my platinum, and perhaps, and I'm very conscious of the fact that that is a something that is could potentially be affecting my perspective. So I'm very conscious of that fact, and I do want to see some additional evidence before I even countenance the possibility of increasing the position. And I'm rather reluctant to do that, considering that I have been so wrong with platinum over the last 4 or 5 months. When we look at the broader environment, then the Italian, excuse me, the Indian index has rolled over in the short term. The banking index, which so often leads, has been reasonably steady, but is looking weaker now. And of course, it is tied to the rupee. The rupee is not a strong currency right now. It has had a reversionary move, but the dollar is finding support in the region of the trend mean. I think that this is something that is, that I've posted an article today from Research Affiliates, and they're talking about the fact that the emerging markets are cheap, that they have already had a big currency devaluation, and that therefore they could outperform on a long-term basis. I certainly agree with the long-term basis, but the timing is likely to be very much dictated by the dollar. And when we look at some of these emerging market currencies, they spent most of this year advancing, and that advance has stopped. So what happens next is likely to give us a very strong indication of exactly what we can expect from the emerging market sector for at least the next 6 to 7 months. Because if they can find support in the current areas and advance, then that would exhibit relative strength relative to the dollar when the majority of the G7 are declining against it. But if emerging markets fail at this level, and emerging market currencies and commodity currencies fail at this level, then that is going to represent an additional downward leg, I suspect, in their stock prices, at which point they will go from cheap to much cheaper and become a much more compelling argument overall. We have gone through a decade in which international investors have become really quite accustomed to getting currency market and capital market and indeed yield from their emerging market exposure. And they're not getting the currency market exposure right now. And because it is a headwind, then they're not getting the capital market exposure either. The potential for interest rates to rise means that the yield isn't especially competitive either. So then those are your very important considerations overall. And we really do need to see that the dollars advance, and I suspect that we're not going to see the dollar advancing against absolutely everything forever, that the individual emerging markets are going to be treated on their individual merits, and I think that that is perhaps something that we can expect from next year, that some of the markets will do substantially better than others, and their relative strength relative to the, I think the dollar will be the barometer, and how it performs against those currencies is something that we will watch quite closely. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.